think I saw an email from you guys the other day. You guys just recently started launching an option where you guys are able to use an AI tool to take...
Oh, you suck.
Oh,
yes.
Was I not supposed to say that? If we can cut this off. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Meet the Makers. Today, I have a great guest with us. He is one of the most prolific designers in the 3D printing community right now. Super excited to be welcoming Nico from Nico Industries. How are you doing? So happy to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. The pleasure and the honor, I swear, is all mine.
Likewise, you were a highly anticipated guest and glad that we got to have you on here today. I'll kick you off with a question that I start everybody out with. And I'm not sure if you want to speak to maybe like just 3D printing and modeling in general, and then maybe a little more to the business side. But how did you get started and get into these things?
So it's really funny how that started. It's really my kids. When my kids were younger, this was about 5 years ago, it was at the height of Marvel, right? My son and my daughter liked to dress up as Marvel characters. So I would take them to the Disney store and buy them their costumes. And being the type of that I am, I dressed up with them.
Oh.
And what I did was I started with foam formats with Pepakura. I had a full foam Iron Man MK46, and I just fell in love with the craft. I fell in love with cosplay. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Iron Man. And then one day I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw this leg piece of this super highly detailed Iron Man leg. And I was like, what is that? And the guy said, so I DM'd the guy and he said, it's 3D printed. I go, it's freaking what? He goes, it's 3D printed. I go, what is that? For about a month, I went deep, like rabbit hole. And I said, all right, let's get one. And the CR10 had just come out and it was a nice 12 by 12 by 16 bed and it was perfect for cosplay. And poof, that's how I got started.
It's crazy. Like I coming from a side of being and doing cosplay and like doing the foam side of things and discovering 3D printing. I've never explored foam at all and made anything with that. But I imagine doing that, it probably the level of detail that you can get and just like the amount of time that has to go in, I imagine it has to be just like way more difficult.
It's far more time consuming, that's for sure. And the quality that you put out with 3D printing just is unmatched when it comes to foam. Foam just cannot compete with 3D printing, I don't think.
Yeah, I've just recently started getting into doing my first cosplay pieces. I just started my first Mando helmet recently. And
yeah, shout out to Galactic Armory. They got good stuff, man.
Yeah, I frankly, Bill had recommended it. And I was like, okay, I have to dive in and I have to go over there. So I picked up my first helmet. And honestly, I've been having such a great time getting into that side of things. It's like opened up a new horizon for me of combining the pieces. I don't have a large scale printer yet. So I'm still in the realm of sanding my pieces together. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting into that side of things. You, I think most people know you're really well known for doing like all kinds of different cosplay armor and helmets and stuff like that. It seems like it's like a natural transition that would be how you ended up going that route for modeling. But I guess what was kind of like the first models that you started putting out for that? Was it Iron Man? Was it something else?
Actually, the first commission that I had was for the Hacaroni Warhawk for Warhammer 40K.
Okay.
It wasn't even Iron Man. And I was like, oh, there's a real demand for these things. And so every time I would go on Facebook, I would see the Facebook groups and the Creality Facebook groups. There's just an Iron Man helmet every other day, 3 or 4 posts a day. I was like, all right, there's a demand for this. But what is it that they said? The people who got rich weren't the ones panning for gold. It's the ones selling the shovels. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, let's sell some shovels.
Yeah, you've built a really interesting way around doing models. Because I think a lot of people that I see who do models, they go a more traditional route of they'll post their models on Colts or Thingiverse, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I like. I feel like the way that you present your models and you offer your models is a little more unique. Not a ton of people have a website built out like you do. I guess, did you have a background in business that like made you comfortable going that route? Or how did you go down the path of developing your own website? And like, you have a really strong brand around it. Like, how did that kind of come about?
So when I first came out with Nico Industries, the only cosplay brand was Do3D, okay. Right? They were the only ones. But before Nico Industries had started, I was already vastly interested in business and marketing and working for myself. So I guess it was just really a lot of experience and knowledge that I'd built up. Before that, actually, funny story, I had failed in several businesses before Nico Industries. Actually, while Nico Industries started, I was in Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Yeah, I was in Chapter 13 bankruptcy. I had failed the fitness business that I had. I used to own a gym. And it failed. I was $100,000 in debt. And yeah, it was just one of those deals that I said, Etsy's taking too much. These just take a lot. Now they're taking even more.
Yeah.
Cost takes away a lot. And I heard they don't pay their designers, but I've never had that problem. Patreon takes a lot. And so I said, you know what? Why would I give these guys more money? So I said, you know what? I'll just build everything out on my own and then I'll just market it myself. Basically how it went.
It's, in my opinion, it's a really smart way that you went about doing it. And
thank you.
I likewise, I've had multiple business failures in the past. And I always like to think of them as, it's crazy hearing somebody go from this position of being, like you said, 100,000 in debt and like transitioning to this new business. I always like to think of those failed business ventures as like almost an investment. Like I feel, at least for me, there were situations where like me failing in a certain business, it like catapulted me into the next thing that I was doing. I don't know if you felt that way with that business that you had first. Was there things that you learned in that business that kind of evolved how you went about doing Nico Industries?
Yeah, it's definitely the school of hard knocks, right? It's a big price to pay, but boy, do you learn. And you learn so much. I feel like the money I spent in all my business failures got me a PhD and at the very least a master's in business.
Yeah.
And not to toot my own horn, but it's done me pretty well.
Yeah, no, it seems, like I said, it seems like you really built like a great brand around this. If you don't mind me asking this, it's always a topic that I'm curious about, but do you have a formal education in business or was it really like learning from just your own experiences?
Nope. I have an engineering degree.
Oh, okay.
I'm prior military. I'm not sure if that's relevant, but no, I'm just a poor boy from the Philippines. Just a poor boy from Manila, man. I'm just Nico. I'm just in the garage trying to be a nerd. I'm just a nerd in the garage. That's all I am.
So you said that you went to engineering school. I know that can span across a lot of different broad ranges. Did that play into like how you got into 3D modeling?
So what got me into 3D modeling really was just, I said, so it's when 3D printing first started. I said, how do you 3D print stuff? The machine needs files to make something. I said, oh, okay. So I have to design it. All right, cool. So how do you design? And I just learned. The artistic side came from my family. We're all a family of artists. I've been drawing Dragon Ball Z anime stuff since I was 5. So that helped definitely. And so, yeah, that's how that started.
It's very cool. No, it just seems like you have a lot of small experiences that might not seem related, but they all come together in the right way. You know, it's like kind of like making like a soup or something. You just throw a bunch of
right,
stuff in
exactly.
the pot. Something
yeah, I love to cook. So it's just this ingredient that, oh, look, it's something delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, that's another thing that I see. Like you, I think what, again, captures the interest of a lot of people in the designs that you do, whether it's Marvel stuff. I see that you recently have some Dragon Ball Z related files. You have a lot of stuff that just is, it's very cool. But what really stood out to me about your files is the ones that come to mind in particular. I know you have a Samurai Batman
yeah.
style helmet. You have a Skull Stormtrooper, like all these cool, what would be traditional helmets, but then you have like your own twist on it. Do you, as you're designing, do you find those to be like a little more fun and like experimental to play with?
So
or, like,
much
where
fun.
Did the ideas
oh my gosh.
Come from?
They're so much fun. Because, I mean, look, you're just going through something and you're like, what if, that's how everything started, right? The show, what if? Like, what if? Right? What if the Stormtrooper was a bone? Poof. Right? What if Batman was a samurai? What would he look like? What if Batman was a ninja? What if the Predator was a Mandalorian? You just go. I'm definitely inspired when I'm going through Pinterest, when I'm going through Instagram. I'm just scrolling and I'm like, oh man, that looks cool. What if this?
Yeah.
And then it's off to the races. I will say at this point, I have removed myself as the designer. And now I have a team of people who are doing that for me.
Okay.
And that allows me to spend more time with my family, spend more time with my kids. Because that's what this is all about. To free up ourselves and our time so we can do what we want. With our time, because let's face it, that's what it's all about. It's free.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something like that's difficult for a lot of business owners as well. Something I've always struggled a lot with is like delegating out tasks and like deciding what is the thing that like only I can do? Where is my energy best spent? And then what should I delegate out to other people? Was that like, did you struggle with that? How was that transition for you when you first got started?
It was right off the bat.
Okay.
Came in, I was like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for scale. And I said, what do I have so that I can leverage? And it was money. I was making really good money because I was working for the utility company. Okay. I was bringing in six figures. And I said, what can I do so I can scale this faster? And I said, if I'm designing, can I hire several more people to do this? And I hired from the gun four designers. And I was like, oh, dang, I can remove myself immediately from this. And so I did. And then poof, it scaled up. And then it wasn't until this year that I really scaled up with the designs where we're putting out a model every single day.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The last time I checked, I think you were around like 900 models. Are you
1,000?
Oh my God, that's so exciting. That's awesome. Because actually, for people who don't know, we were going to do this podcast. We had to reschedule. We were going to do it last month.
Yeah, but I had to go pick up the kids and you were busy for that day too.
Yeah. And at the time, I had my podcast notes leading up to these. And at the time, I had it in there as like wondering if there was going to be a special model for Day 1000. So it's just ironic and it's funny that.
Yeah. Today, I uploaded today and I was like, dude, I think about 1,000 a day. And sure enough, so really excited. We hit 1,000 a day. I'm pretty sure I'm one of the biggest, if not the biggest, membership for files for 3D printing. So really proud of that.
Congratulations. That's huge milestone. And like you have a team of people, but again, for a single like standalone, you're not Colts 3D, you're not Things where you have all these people contributing. It's a huge milestone. So that's
awesome. Thank you so much. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Now for you guys, in terms of like where you guys are going in the future, I'm not sure how much you can like share if there's things maybe happening behind the scenes, but is the plan right now to just continue at the pace that you're at, continue to add these files every day? Is there a different direction that you see things going? Where are you guys at right now?
So I'm waiting for the X-Men.
Okay.
As long as Marvel is putting out movies, I'll be here. As long as DC keeps putting out movies, right. I'll be here. As long as there are video games, I will be here. And so it doesn't sound like I'm going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
So we are going to continue to keep building the props and the armor and costume and stuff like that. Recently, we had a big stint on Mortal Kombat. This past week, a lot of Spider-Man 2099. Miguel was great, loved him in the movie. But we're also going towards the everyday things for people who don't necessarily want to print superhero stuff and other things. We are going into more just random designs. Just flexi toys, so on and so forth. And we're also trying to go into just home decor. Yeah, just stuff like that. Just things that aren't necessarily pop and mainstream. Just things that, that'd be a cool 3D print. And so it'll be more all-encompassing, not just from the niche where I started from. I started from this niche, and now we're going broader. There is one more thing that I want to talk about, but maybe on another episode.
Okay.
Maybe in another
episode. We'll have to have you back. Yeah, we'll have to have you back for part two.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'm going to try it out about it right now, and I really want to talk about it, but I
can't. Man, you're giving us quite the cliffhanger here. My eyes are going to be like attached to emails every time they're coming in.
Yeah, to see
what's coming out. No, it's interesting. It's interesting hearing you say like diversifying out. For you guys, like right now, I'm not sure how involved you are with guiding the modelers that you guys have or if they're on their own accord, but do you guys do like, I'm not sure if there's research that goes into what to add to the website of what you think are going to be enticing products to people, or is it more so just we think that this is interesting, so we're going to make it?
So all the ideas that the designers get are from me. Okay. I am 100% removed from the business. I'm still the head of the snake, right? Okay. I'm the one who says, all right, I need this, I want this. Then it comes to me. Then I'll come take it like, all right, this, I don't like this here. And then I'll tell them, change this. And then it comes back. Okay, cool. That's cool. And as far as ideas go, it's always through me. It's always through me. They're like, all right, what's my next project? Here it is. I have a spreadsheet of, and we laugh about this in our Facebook group. It's never ending. Like my list is just, I'll take off one, I'll put four on, literally. And then the guys are just like, hey, can you make this? And it's always, hey, does everyone else want it? I can't do just for John, right?
Right.
Or for Kevin, or whoever. I can't do just one-offs for one person. It has to be something that everyone's going to want or a good amount of people that are going
to
want.
Yeah. No, that honestly, I have to say like one of the hardest lessons I learned in like business and life, it was doing like the market research and like, understanding that just because I like it or just because I think it's cool or like you said, just because John thinks it's cool and it's a good idea doesn't mean that it's going to have that mass market appeal. And man, if I could go back in time and like pound that lesson into my head, that was a hard one for me to learn. And still, like, I struggle with that.
It's an expensive lesson.
Yeah.
Expensive. It's cost me a few $10,000.
Yeah. I believe it.
I was like, oh, Nico thinks it's cool. Everybody else is going to think it's cool.
Yeah.
Zero purchases. And I was like, oh my God, is this for real right now?
Yeah, it's hard to separate yourself from it sometimes. And I think, honestly, like, that's another thing where I think if you have a really great team around you too, that it can be like another like sounding board even to kind of bounce those ideas off of and see it resonates. I know for me, like, I've been really fortunate to have like different people around to bounce ideas off of, and it's been super helpful. But yeah, I would say that's always something I try and put out there for anybody who's like looking to start a business or is newer to business. Definitely validate your ideas that you have and make sure that there is interest in them, especially if you're investing heavily in those before you start developing them.
Yeah, there is a way to validate that is no cost to you, that's not going to cost you any money. It's instant validation and it's instant feedback.
Yeah.
You guys ready for it?
Yeah.
Ask. How crazy is that? Just ask, hey, what do you guys think of this? And they'll tell you.
Yeah.
And if it's crickets, don't make it.
Yeah.
It's really as simple as that. And it took a while for me to learn that lesson.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think to that point, I'm not sure if like when you guys are doing models, if this is something that comes into play there. But I know for me, even just like social media can be a great tool of exactly like you said, ask, put it out in the world and see what the interest is in it. Even if it's not done, or if you end up not, if there's not interest, like it's almost better to get that feedback up front and not have to go through the whole development process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes.
So, okay, you have your different models that you guys are working on. It sounds like you guys have a lot of different moving parts right now. Again, I'm curious to see what's coming up in the future. Thinking back to the different models that you guys have right now and like how you have gotten to where you are, has social media been like a big thing that you've leveraged to like get interest in models, or like where has like most of your traffic would you say comes from?
So traffic for the website, right?
Yeah. Or, yeah. How overall you've marketed the brand and more specifically get website traffic.
So it started off as the Armor Group because there wasn't one.
Okay.
5 years ago, there was no Armor Group. And I said, let's start one. And so Anytime I saw a post that was an Iron Man or whatever, I said, hey, you should post this in the Armor Group. And it went nuts. It went bonkers. I went from zero. I'd forgotten how the rate of how it went goes. We're currently sitting at 26,000 members now.
Okay.
What was faster though was the Side Hustle Group that I started around this time last year, and we're currently at 18,000 members in 1 year. It's my strategy has always been build a community around the one thing that they want to do. So the Armor Group was, they wanted to build props from video games, movies, and shows, which was my original group, and that's how most of the traffic comes. And then the Side Hustle Group is for people who want to start businesses. And in that sense, I haven't really dived into that because my focus has always and will always primarily be Nico Industries. And it started off also as a YouTube channel where I would, so on Facebook, I would tell people to, hey, join the group here. And when I first started my YouTube channel a long time ago, I would show people how to post process their helmets, their prints, so on and so forth. And then I would tell them, hey, join us in this group, join us in this group, join us in this group. And there was a link to it in the YouTube description. And That's how I built it.
Interesting. Yeah. Community, I think it's an underrated way of getting people involved and getting people aligned on what you're doing. I've recently been exploring something. I'm not sure if you follow Sam Evans at all or if you'll know what I'm talking about, but it's called School Groups. And it's like these online communities, which I've been really curious about, interested about. But no, online communities, I think it's a really interesting thing. It's something I've been kind of just curious about over the years. Before I was into 3D printing, I put out like a lot of content around houseplants. And it's always interesting to me the way that these like hobbies, I think, like that people are so passionate about really have these very strong communities around them. And it's a really good way to leverage a business for that.
I agree. Communities, it's because it's everyone who is looking to do the same thing have a space to talk about that one thing. And it's just a bunch of grown 12-year-old men.
No, it really, I think, honestly, like the 3D printing community, it's like everybody really embraces their inner child there, which I'm a big fan of. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Now, to that point of your YouTube videos, that was something that I also thought was pretty cool about yours. You obviously, like a lot of the models that you guys release from Nico Industries, I have one behind me. I have the Skull Apple Mug.
I love that thing, the Poison Apple Mug.
Yes. And you coincidentally, you had a video on this one, which this isn't even close to like the one of the craziest models that you guys release. But I thought what was cool is some of the videos that you guys have, you kind of walk people through how to set up the supports or how to best orient things. And I think that's something that's really valuable. Yeah.
Thank you. I really should get back to more of those. Diablo 4 has, I'll admit on camera right now, live. Haven't been. Diablo 4 has my attention.
It's funny you say that. My coworkers are all gamers, and it must have been a couple of weeks ago that it came out, but I remember I was like, oh, what are you guys doing this weekend? They're all like, oh, yeah, we're playing Diablo the entire weekend.
Yeah, Diablo 4. Yeah. Come on, full attention.
Yeah. I don't blame you. But it's, I guess, an interesting thing to go off from that. So obviously for you, like right now, Diablo is where the attention is at. Since you guys like have a lot of your like current like market that you guys do is around games or movies or things like that. And I always feel so bad saying this, but I haven't seen really any of the Marvel or DC movies, but I can't tell you like what the most recent one is that came out. But let's say
I'm leaving
Spider-Man.
This podcast.
As soon as I say it, people are always like, what are you talking about? But it's so bad. I need to get caught up. But let's say a new Spider-Man movie comes out. When like releases like that happen, do you guys see a surge in the interest for those types of models?
Yeah. Huge. Yes. For the past week, my number one downloaded product are my Spider-Man 2099 face shell, the bust, and the statues. Because I have five different things, right? So I have the 2099 face shell. I have a spider from the movie, 2099 bust. I have the 2099 statue. And I wanted to do the original comic book Spider-Man 2099. So I have a bust of that and a statue of that as well. And those are like, they're huge, right?
Yeah, I believe that they are because it seems like it comes in waves on my feed of what I see. But it's one day all of a sudden, like there'll be certain types of models that everybody's printing Spider-Man now, or everybody's printing. When the Mario movie came out, it was like everything was Mario.
Yeah. This Mario Kart that we made that uses bearings, I think a few people made this. This is one of my favorites, actually, where you can actually put Mario inside. I can't find Mario right now, though. But I printed the wheels in TPU. There's ball bearings inside that snap on, and it's fully functioning.
Yeah, that's a cool model. I want to say I've seen a couple of people print that. I can't remember who, but I think I've seen that one floating around. Now, I guess going off of that, so for you guys, I know that like you have the people who model, like a team of modelers right now. For the people who do the modeling, do they also do the prototyping of the models when they come out?
That's me.
Nope. Okay, gotcha. In terms of prototyping those, I see you have the two bamboos behind you. Those machines helped you in terms of launching the prototypes and getting different things out quicker?
Yes. I love these things. I sold all my Creality CR10 S4s and went with just these two, and they do the job. They do the job. I do want to get my hands on the K1 Max, which would be the biggest Core XY pre-built so far. So that's the one daddy wants, man.
Yeah, they
do get the prototypes out very fast.
Yeah, I actually just ordered myself the P1 last night. They just went on sale and I was like, okay, finally I broke down. I had to do that stuff. I'm excited. I was like so against it for so long. I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then I broke. I was like, I've got to do it. So I'm excited to finally get into the cool kids club with my bamboo. But yeah, they seem like they've really, for a lot of people, been a great tool for just being able to like quickly iterate on getting things out. So that's
the Flexies come out in 2 hours. They're phenomenal.
Yeah. That's got to be like a huge turnaround from, it sounds like you came from mostly Creality machines. So that's got to be a big difference. Yeah. Now for the K1, it's interesting that you said that because I haven't seen a lot of people. I've seen a couple of people testing them, but I don't hear a ton about them yet. Coming from the bamboo, that was like the machine that I feel like was like the standard for a while of Core XY printers. Have you done like a lot of research on it? Have you heard good things about the K1, or what are you kind of hearing about that machine? And it's interesting to hear that that's like on the top of your list right now.
So I've heard mixed reviews about it, but From my closest friends who have it, every single close friend that I have who has it, all love it. They love it as much as they love the bamboo.
Okay.
And so that's enough for me. Like, I'll trust my friends over some random person on social media, right?
Yeah.
The person on social media could just be a hater, right? Why do my friends have to lie to me? All my friends are like, dude, you got to get one.
And it, I just, I'm good with these two.
He's like, no, bro, you got to get one. You suck. Actually, funny story. It was a Saturday morning last year. I think around this time last year, I was on the phone with Uncle Jesse. Saturday morning, it was like 8 a.m. It was like 7 a.m. here, 10 o'clock his time. I said, hey, man, dude, should I really get this bamboo? He goes, bro, yes. So while he was on the phone, I bought one. I said, man, if this thing sucks.
Yeah, I'm calling you back up.
Yeah. But it's quickly become my favorite printer up there. One of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And now Creality's coming out with, so Bamboo set the bar for pre-built Core XY machines, right? Bamboo said, hey, here's where the new standard. And so Elegoo, Creality, Anycubic, everybody's like, all right, they just stepped up the game. So we got to step up. So kudos to Bamboo for setting that bar. And now Creality's saying, you're the X1. Here's the X1 Max, because they already knew we're going to ask for bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, I've only been doing this a little longer than 6 months now, but
feels like you've been doing it longer.
I feel like I've been doing this long. I feel like I've been doing this for 10 years, but no, I've only been printing for about 6 months now, but
like amazing. 6 months?
Yeah, right when I first got into it, I remember like people were just like, it's Boy and Face and a few other people, I can't think of who else, was like in the first release of them, and I remember seeing them, and I didn't even know enough about printers at the time to realize how cool it was, but just in the time that I've been printing, seeing like how much it's evolved out of just most people printing on under three, it has me really excited to see over the next 5 years what it's going to evolve into, and I guess like what direction just 3D printing in general goes, and if it becomes more of a mainstream thing. And for you guys, that has to be really exciting with these machines that are coming out and being more accessible. You don't need to be a super technical person now to get one of these printers.
So what I feel should happen eventually, here's the thing. Whoever can put a 3D printer in every home in America is the next billionaire, right? And they need to solve the problem of how fast or how easy can we make this machine, can we make this work? And Bamboo just leap forward with that because of how easy it is to get this machine going. Now, it becomes a reliability issue at this point, so that when the machine does break down, how easy is it to repair? It's not like it's a toaster where you can just, if it breaks, I go down to the mall or go on Amazon, buy another one. These things are expensive. So I think it's got another 15 to 20 years before we get to the point where someone is going to put a 3D printer in every home in America, but we're moving along and we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Where my mind goes on that note of like where you took us is almost not even how easy it is to repair, but almost how reliable it is and how much you can get the price down. Like what I think of it being comparable to is a microwave. I would never try to repair my microwave, but my microwave never breaks. I buy a microwave and it runs for what, like 10 years, and I never have to think about it until I remodel my house and buy a new one. That's if we can get to that point where they're a couple hundred dollars, they run for 10 years and they don't break down every day. That's where I start to get like really excited and start to think that like this is an appliance that everybody has in their home. I know one of the things that you said is like a newer market that you guys are getting into is furniture. Is that the idea of like more people getting into 3D printing and it becoming more of this mainstream thing? Is that kind of something leading you down that path, or is that just a market that you think is like underutilized right now for like models?
We're not doing furniture. We're doing home decor.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
So like shelving.
Okay.
Wall art, stuff like that. We haven't really dove a huge amount into it. I know HueForge. Oh my gosh. Have you seen those things that the people are printing on HueForge? Beautiful pieces of work. HueForge. So they're painting with the machine.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So HueForge. Yeah. Shout out to those guys. I think HueForge, I could use work. Because I looked at it and I was like, what the hell am I doing here? But once you figure it out, man, it's great piece of software. So as far as, back to the question, we haven't really dove too much into the home decor space, but that is what's coming up next, just so that we can broaden what we can do. And so when you come to Nico Industries, it's more like a what doesn't he have is a better right. question rather than what does he have.
Okay, gotcha. On that note, I hope I'm not mistaken for saying this, but I believe I saw an email from you guys the other day. You guys just recently started launching an option where you guys are able to use an AI tool to take...
Oh, you suck.
Oh,
yes.
Was I not supposed to say that? If we
no,
can
no,
cut
no,
this
no,
part.
No. Let's take it. Let's go there.
Okay.
So, yes, we are... There was an email. I didn't know you were on the mailing list. You suck.
Sorry for opening your emails. I won't open them in the future.
You're fine. I'm just kidding. Yes, we are able now to take any photo and turn it into a 3D model. Any photo. So, if you took a photo of this can, I want a photo of this can. Great. Send it to me. And then within minutes, you'll have your 3D model. Yeah, I was beta testing it over the weekend. I sent an email out on Sunday. Had a few people help test out. They purchased a low poly, some low poly, some high poly work. And their models are coming out, and they're coming out pretty good in relation to it being AI software. So it's using photogrammetry, it's scanning the photo, and it's using machine learning to see, hey, here's what it's doing, here's what it looks like, and here's the 3D shape, and it fits it out. We are going to be launching the website here pretty soon. Right now, everything's done manually. So if anybody wants to try that out, they can go online, they can purchase whatever it is, they can purchase the 2D to 3D model option in my shop. We have to process it manually. But once the website is up, which should be in about another month or so with testing and whatnot, everything is you upload, you choose your photo quality, you choose your 3D model quality, comes out, the asset's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. You can sell it, print it. I don't care what you do with it. It's yours. You have full rights to it.
Wow.
And you'll always have access to it in your profile, in your generated asset.
Wow. That's in terms of things that like really get me excited personally, it's how AI is going to come into play with models and things like that. And I've talked about this a lot with different people that I've had on and different modelers. Obviously, coming from a space where you guys have historically made your models, if you want to call it the traditional way, it, like when you guys first started hearing about these AI tools that like, I don't think anything mainstream is like currently pushing out models like super fast or anything like that. But like when you guys started hearing murmurs of this happening, was the first thought for you, I'm excited, or were you nervous when you first started hearing that?
Both. I was like, this is about to take my business is about to go down. This sucks. I have to go back to work. But with any disruption is huge opportunity. Right. And so I said, all right, what are we going to do? And I said, I need this and I need this now. And partnered up with a company. And I said, I'm going to take this to the 3D printing community. And I'm going to be the first and I'm going to be the best. That's what I said to myself. And so that's where we're headed.
I'm really excited for you guys because I think it's a huge opportunity right now. And I don't know of anybody else who's at least not. I know that there's some tools out there that are being developed or in talks of being developed, but I don't hear it being talked about like in the 3D printing community. I hear it being talked about for like game design or things like that, but I feel like it almost seems like to me a lot of times like the 3D printing market gets overlooked on a lot of opportunities. I'm really excited for you guys and I think it's going to be a big thing for you.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I'm nervous, but I think it's going to be a huge opportunity for us. So we're crossing our fingers.
Yeah. Sorry for letting the can out of the bag.
No, it's okay. So that was earlier while we were talking. That was the one that I didn't want to talk about. Kate said, hey, what about that email? Okay, now we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not really so much out of the bag. We're doing some beta testing. The email went out to only the membership members. Okay,
gotcha.
So the only membership members got the taste of this. No one else got it. But we're on our way to AI. AI can now make your own 3D model. Right now, you have to upload a photo and it's going to give you one. Eventually, we are going to... What we're going to try to do is we're going to utilize different software where you're going to type something. It's going to generate a photo. You're going to approve that photo. That photo is going to be a 3D model.
Yeah.
It's eventually going to be text to 3D model. That's where I'm at.
Absolutely not. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world that we live in.
I know.
I don't know if you guys like use this on like the, just like in terms of getting ideas or things like this, but I've recently been like really getting into Midjourney. And like even the stuff that Midjourney pops out to me, it just like how fast this has come along. It's mind-blowing to me.
I agree. Mid-Journey's phenomenal. That Batman Stormtrooper, this Command Stormtrooper was from Midjourney. And oh, this okay. went nuts on social media. So somebody posted this in the Facebook group on Armor Group. And people were like, dude, I need that. And I said, all right, let's model it. And then poof. And I was like, man, what if somebody could just say, hey, make me a XYZ. And then poof, a photo comes up. All right, give me a front, a back, a front, a side, and a top view of just the helmet. And then poof. And then, all right, 3D model that. And then bang. You know what I mean? That's possible. And that's what I'm working.
Yeah, it's for me, and I've never been like a super talented modeler or like designer or things like that. Like I've always been more of a creative person, but like I've never developed the skills to be able to execute on it super strongly. And I think for me, that's where AI gets me excited for people like me who have a lot of ideas and have a lot of like I can imagine it in my head but can't quite execute on it. And I think that opens up the world a lot for people like myself.
Yeah. Because your mind can imagine things, but then it has to source the tap to your body. And it's like,
it's crystal clear up here.
Yeah, on paper, it's not quite crystal clear. But I think that's what anytime I sit down and I'm like, oh man, is like in a year from now, is AI going to take over the things that I do? I think that there's always going to be an opportunity for people who want to evolve and want to just stay on the top of things. I think it's going to take out a lot of the mundane tasks. And overall, personally, like I'm very excited about AI.
I use it personally to get ahead of the modeling. So when you're 3D modeling something, you got to have your base shape first. This gives me my base shape like this. And it's like, it cut like 8 hours out of my work. This is fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
And then I can just go straight into the work.
Yeah, I hope I'm not regretting saying this in 2 years from now, but I really do think that it's going to be a positive thing for people, artists, non-artists. I think it's going to be good. So
I agree.
It's a crazy time to be alive, but I'm excited to see where it takes us.
Same.
A parting question that I'll leave you with here today. You've done a really fantastic job of building up this empire, building Nico Industries. You are doing all kinds of new exciting things that we've let people know about now, but if we fast forward 10, 20, 30 years, what's like, where do you see this going? And I guess what's like, if you could just have things go perfect, like where do you see things in the future?
10 years, Nico Industries hopefully will have 5,000 files. Nico Industries is still around. I'm still around. I really hope that the charity work that I've been doing is bigger than I thought it was going to be. The reception for that has been amazing so far. And honestly, I'm blessed beyond what I deserve. I know that it's lost on me. I know this is going to be taken away from me like this. And so I don't take it for granted. Honestly, I'm thankful to be here. I'm blessed to be here. I'm so grateful. And in 10 years, I'm hoping that the AI business that we're starting, the website that we're starting, has grown tremendously. I hope that it finds the same success that Nico Industries did. And they can both grow together. In 10 years, I'll be close to 50. So,
you know, that's surprising to me because you don't look like a day over 25. So,
thanks. Yes. Favorite interview ever. I've done a lot of podcasts. Favorite interview ever. Favorite. But yeah, I'm close to 40. And so
wow.
In 10 years, I'll be close to 50. I look like it. When I play basketball, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't. So, yeah, I really hope that the AI business takes off the way Nico Industries did, and they can both grow together. And hate to say this, but eventually Nico will have to step down, and hopefully my son comes up and takes the brand or wherever it is that will be in 10 years, and he's the head of it, and I'm chilling in the back, playing Diablo 5 or whatnot.
Yeah. That sounds like a good end to the story. Not end of the story, good next chapter of the story. We'll say it that way.
It would be a start for my son's story and my daughter's story.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a closed on mine. It's a start for them. That's all.
Yeah, I love that. I did say that this was going to be the last question, but I'll pose one more for you because you brought up something.
Sure,
like
go ahead.
I wasn't in the loop on. You mentioned that you recently have been doing stuff with charities. Can you just talk a little bit about what you've been doing there?
Yeah, so when test 3D prints, like toys, Lord, like this stone dragon, right? So this is stone dragon. Oh, I'm not even on the right camera. So this stone dragon, right?
Yeah.
When I test prints like this, My kids are old. They're big. They're too big for these toys, that's for sure. Yeah. And I've always believed that every child should have, should be opening something for Christmas. Every single child should have something for Christmas. One day I was looking at my kids and I said, you guys want for nothing. Said, we're born in, you guys were born in this country. I wasn't born in the United States. You're born in the United States. You guys want for nothing. You guys are so blessed. And I grew up in the Philippines and I've seen homeless kids. I've seen kids sleeping in the streets, nothing to eat, just sitting there. Holy shit, what is going on? And so I started this project called Project Santa, where I go, all the prints that I have, right? So they're not running right now, but normally these guys are making toys. And so I take all the toys that I make for the year and I go back to the Philippines for Christmas for about a week. And I go to orphanages in the Philippines and I give them the toys that I made for the year. And not only that, I give money for clothes, for food, for supplies, for diapers, beds, sheets, anything that the orphanages need, I provide for them when I go back to the Philippines. So that's called Project Santa. It's so that every kid has a present for Christmas.
That's amazing. I absolutely love that. For people who are listening, like if people want to contribute to that, is there like a way that people can like either contribute like money or contribute like maybe if they have prints? Is there, do you like have that open right now?
Yeah, I do. So my Patreon stayed open when the membership opened, right? I used to have a Patreon for the files and I said, you know what? Y'all are taking too damn much. So I said, I'm going to start my own website. It makes it easier for people to find stuff on the website anyway.
Yeah.
But Patreon has now since been converted to Project Santa.
Okay.
So it's the Nico Industries Patreon, but it's for Project Santa. And they can donate $10 a month. Dude, y'all pay $10 for a cup of coffee anyway.
Yeah.
And so I take that money and throughout the year, right now it's June, right? So there's $6,000 in there and all $6,000 is going to go to the orphanages where we buy rice, canned goods, clothes, diapers, whatever it is that the orphanages need, I buy it.
Awesome. It's exciting to hear. And that's a good way to repurpose Patreon. Glad to hear that. I guess we'll wrap things up and finish with, for people who across the board want to follow you, find your files online, where can people find the rest of your stuff online?
Oh, there's a lot. Okay. So we'll just go with the two things, right? So if you guys want to buy or get access to 1,000 plus now, because by the time this show comes out, I'll be at plus. So if you guys want 1,000 plus files, access to it, you'll get flexies, you'll get statues, busts, toys, props from video games, movies, shows, whatever it is that you guys want, over 1,000 of them. You guys can find that at nicoindustriesmembership.com. Okay, that's the membership. Now, if you guys want to donate for the charity, you just go to the Nico Industries Patreon, and that's where you guys can donate. If you guys want to support that charity, I would love to. The kids would absolutely love it. It helps buy filament. It helps buy toys. It helps buy all kinds of things. And 100% of that goes to the kids and the orphanages. I take zero of that.
Awesome. Nico, I appreciate you so much for coming on here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, it was my pleasure. It was so interesting learning about all the different things that you have going on, including your secret projects. The not so secret project anymore. So, sorry for the last time. But again, thank you so much for coming on here today. And that's how that
thank
is.
You, thank
Make
you.
The Makers.